you know, this narrative about gentrification happens over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I know a few of us that are flipping. I don't know anybody that's really trying to get into the development game and you know, kind of change the narrative so we have some control over that. So 2013, that's when I decided to kind of get off into that.
So were you buying land in 2013? Was that the next step?
I didn't know what I was going to buy. I just knew what I was going to do is stop flipping and try to figure it out.
Okay.
So I just started talking about it. And, man, it came full circle. That same, my same line brother that helped me get into the game, he had an old tenant reach out to him that used to be in one of the properties and say, hey, I'm over here in Fifth Ward, and the landlord over here isn't taking care of the property. I think he's on drugs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what he heard was opportunity. So he reached out to me, and he's like, man, I think we got an opportunity to go pick up a few houses over here. So I went to go meet with the guy, ended up being a whole block. Mm-hmm. Got a grocery store on it.
How much was that?
Okay. True story, at the time, this was in the hood. It wasn't worth nothing. It was probably worth $300,000, the whole block.
The whole block, the entire block.
Everything was kind of run down. But it's in the area where you tell somebody I'm about to go spend $300,000, they're like, man, are you crazy?
Right.
It's the hood.
You know? It's the hood.
Yeah. Yeah,
nothing but drugs and prostitution over there. You're going to waste your money, you know? So what I ended up doing to talk him into doing the deal, I offered him $400,000 for it. So, but of course I didn't have the cash to pay $400,000. So he actually had inherited the property from his dad. His dad was like a real estate tycoon. Had like 26 blocks over there. Mm.
26 blocks?
26 blocks.
Whoa.
26 blocks. And this block happened to be the one that they gave this kid. And he was like the horrible kid. You know what I mean?
He botched it.
Yeah, yeah. So this was the one he had, and he still wasn't taking care of it. So I offered him an owner finance scenario where I was like, I'll give you 10% now.
What's owner finance?
So that's when instead of going to the bank, the owner that actually doesn't have any debt on the property will let you make payments over time to buy the property from him.
Mm.
So I gave him 10% of what we agreed to, the $400,000, so $40,000, which came from me selling one of my rental properties. And then that allowed me now to control that whole block of property. And it had the grocery store on it, and it had the houses, but everything was really run down. So instead of fixing it up, what I decided to do was do parolee housing for felons, mm. because it's really hard for them to find anywhere to live.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rent them out a single room in each one of the houses. Charge them $350 a month. It was something that they could afford because of the type of jobs they could get. You know, they didn't have much income.
Or was that like a halfway house?
Pretty much like a halfway house.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, they call them SRO houses.
And then,
yeah.
So the state pays you that, right?
Sometimes, if it depends on what program they're in, they get some type of housing assistance. But most of the time, no, they have to go get a job.
Okay.
So that's what made it really good, because you talk about a low risk tenant. You got somebody that's happy to be out of prison. They was in prison for a non-violent offense. I didn't do violent people. They had to keep a job, and they had to keep somewhere to stay. And 99% of the places wouldn't even allow them to live there. So they were like built in good, high revenue for me. You know what I mean? As collectively in each house, whereas I could have rented that whole house for $500 to a regular family. Now I'm making $1,100-$1,200 off that same house. You know, with this program. And
because you were renting the rooms?
Renting them individual rooms. Okay. And most of them had trades. So they were like carpenters, electricians, plumbers. They all learned their trades in prison.
Yeah.
So anything went wrong, I just drop off materials. They would fix it.
Oh,
you know
what I mean? The wind is built in.
and they were just happy to have somewhere to live, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that worked out. That was a win-win, man. And then that was 2013, 14, 15, I did that. In 2016, redevelopment kind of started in the area that I was in. Something else that I always watched too, even when I was flipping, is what the city's plans were. And you can go to the planning department's website, and it'll tell you what they're planning to do 5 years, 10 years down the road. And that's a lot of the game that we don't pay attention to.
Mm.
But you know, the other groups pay attention to that.
Where can you find that information at?
Usually you can just Google it, like planning and development department or urban planning for whatever city you're in, and it'll pull up on their website. You know, it's usually a .gov type website, and it'll have all their information. A lot of it's talked about at city council meetings, so you can look up city council meeting minutes,
mm-hmm.
and it'll tell you about anything big, any developer that's proposing to do something in a certain area. All that has to be publicly announced. So, but what I noticed about Houston was that everything was going counterclockwise around downtown. And the Fifth Ward neighborhood that I was buying in was the last quadrant. So I knew eventually it was going to come. I just didn't know when, you know. And so, yeah, so that's how I got into it. And 2016, another guy started building. So then I figured it was time for me to try to figure out how to get it done.
So what is your, all right, so what's your philosophy on gentrification? What's your, how do you feel about that?
So gentrification has a very negative connotation in our community because we are never the ones revitalizing that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And what happens is the people that are revitalizing are looking out for themselves or their own groups. It's not that they don't care about us, it's that they have their own personal agendas that they're moving forward. And so we can either continue to watch it happen or we can participate, right? And we can participate in a way that we kind of control the narrative of what's being built, who it's being built for, and what happens to the surrounding community that we're building in, right? So my goal with my project was, you know, most of the time when you hear about black builders in black neighborhoods, it's low income stuff. And I feel like that's great. Like, we do need to look out for the low income people, mm-hmm. but we gotta attract the people that were successful, the people that made it out those neighborhoods and back to those neighborhoods, because we need that income. We need that demographic if we ever want a grocery store to come back. We can't sit and depend on the government to do that. Mm-hmm. And right now what happens is the people that are successful, they go and buy houses in the suburbs, right? It's not because they don't wanna move back, it's because they have no options. Mm-hmm. So my focus was, well, let me start building some market rate stuff, not low income housing stuff, but try to attract these working professionals back to the neighborhoods with a high quality product that they you know, they're gonna pay the same price they're paying in the suburbs. And in the city, your value is gonna appreciate a whole lot more, especially when that neighborhood starts to revitalize.
And that's kind of what you've done with, you know, the land that you bought in 2013.
Right.
Which is the most recent development that you worked on. It's a mm-hmm. 14. Is it 14?
Yeah, 14 units.
14
yeah.
units.
14 individual townhouses, yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about that, how that came about?
Yeah, so this is the same property that I bought with the grocery store and everything.
Okay.
So 2016, I decided to just tear everything down. Uh-huh. When I saw there was another developer that was building houses deep in the neighborhood, and he was selling them for $250 before they were complete. He wasn't even listing them on MLS. Mm. So I'm like, so that tells me that there's a mindset, there's enough people out there that are willing to save $100,000 because everything else inside the city loop, was like inside 16 loop, was $350 or more. So, but people would rather save that money and live in a neighborhood that was still pretty rough. So I was like, well, if he can do this deep in the neighborhood, I'm right on the feeder to the highway. You know, I got a view of downtown. I should be able to do something with my property too. And so that's when I decided I'm gonna move forward with this initiative, try to build these townhouses. And it took a lot of work. It took me building the right team because I had no idea what I was doing. Goes back to what you're talking about earlier with the consultant. I had to find the right team, I had to find a builder that had enough experience that was willing to kind of lend his knowledge and time to me, of course, for a fee. You know, I had to pay him to be my consultant, basically teach me how to do the first project. But that's what I did.
So what's your plans now as far as how many projects are you working on? Like, what's your vision look like for the next 5 years?
Next 5 years, I want to finish this project, which will probably be finished next year. And I want to continue to build the same model in the same neighborhood. I kind of want to make this like a real world example that can be duplicated in other cities. Like, we can go in, we can buy the land. And I didn't mention my entire team is from the community too. Mm-hmm. So like my builders, my real estate brokers, my insurance brokers, everybody.
Contractors as well?
Contractors as well, yeah. I'm working with a black builder. So, and it's not just anybody, it's people that got good reputations, but we kind of always silo ourselves and we never really collectively work together on stuff. Yeah. So, and the goal, and the most important part of all of this, whether you're flipping, another industry a lot of people in is wholesaling or building new construction, is ensuring that you put the product in front of the right end buyer. Because if you're flipping, you call yourself buying a block, but if you're not watching who you're selling to on the back end,
right,
you're still gentrifying the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So my goal is really to educate us on, like I said, the working professional on why it's better for you to buy over here. Yeah. So I'm building the first three now. Got contracts on two of them. Both of them are young black professionals, basically oil and gas professionals.
That's townhouses, right?
The townhouses, yeah. I got a dentist, a black dentist from Dallas that's looking at buying one. You know, so it's all about making sure that we create that model. Because right now that gentrification narrative is the only thing that's real. Mm-hmm. And for our people, we do better when we see examples of something that's actually working. And so when this is complete, I want to make sure that this model gets as much exposure as possible. It's not about me making all the money. I want people in other cities to do the same thing. You know, to say it's possible, we really can't do this. And this is the example.
How do you evaluate like what area you want to, I know you say you look at the city plans, mm-hmm. but do you have like a set formula, or is just kind of like you just know the area and you just kind of have a good feeling? Because you can buy in some bad neighborhoods and they don't get better,
Right.
Right. So it's like, I mean, how do you know, like, this is probably going to get better?
It's all about your network, because you got to be talking to people in the industry. So a lot of the realtors that I work with, they work with builders, and you know, you got to have a network of commercial realtors around you too, because they know where the commercial developers are looking at, what areas they're looking at. So it's a lot of it's word of mouth, in addition to what you see on the city plans, you know. But yeah, you got to have your foot in the door. You got to be on the inside, understanding where they're moving, and you just kind of ride that wave along with them.